This is the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum, where we experience and explore mindfulness. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of Mark's mindfulness teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
My name is Brian Shires, and it's an honor to be here to sit in this spot. And it's so good to see so many people taking time out of a rainy day to be here around lunchtime, a little pre-lunch meditation practice. Is there anybody here at the Hammer Museum for the very first time? A couple people. Anybody here practicing meditation for the very first time? Experts. Excellent. All right. So I thought what we might try is some subtle work around the kind of attitude we take when we're really present with the thing that we're trying to pay attention to. What is that? So, you know, our general instruction is we choose an object. We call it an attention object. Maybe it's the breath. It could be at the nostrils or the mouth or the back of the throat. It could be the chest or the belly, something concrete. It could be sounds in the room. It could be even fragrances. It could be vision if my eye is open, or even if my eyes are closed. I could be attending to what I see, so the sensory information. Those are my objects. And then when I notice that my attention has wandered away to any number of things, when I notice that, the effort is to bring the attention back to the object, whatever it is you've chosen to attend to. That's the basic movement. And we do that again and again and again. Now, sometimes we might have momentum of thinking. You know, maybe it's a real problem or it's a particularly interesting set of thoughts that keep intruding in our practice. And we've been told that we can actually make those thoughts the object of my attention. I can actually move from the breathing sensation of my body to a set of thoughts as they're appearing in my mind. And I can just use that as my object. But either way, whether it's a sense object of the body or a sense object in the sphere of the mind, what is my attitude toward attending? How do I do that? What is my stance? Is it analysis? Is it comparing? Is it trying to hold on to positive experiences of attending? Push away the feeling of distraction? So how we sit in that place of attending is really helpful to understand. One of my favorite teachers used to describe this practice of kind of bare attention as, imagine you're a brand new bird watcher, and your job is to look at a bird and note down in your notebook all the things you can observe. So the idea is to observe and recognize what you experience, but without embellishment, without trying to interpret or to analyze or figure it out. Just write down what the bird's doing, how many times it flaps its wings, whether it's eating, chirping, whether it's alert or calm, without trying to figure out why the bird's that way and what it means to the bird and whether the bird is happy or sad. So in the same way, we could actually adopt this very simple way of paying close attention to the object of our attention, the breath, or sounds, or even thoughts, without trying to do anything with that. Just the raw experience of taking in information moment to moment, without having to figure it out, without having to fix anything, or try and control anything, or create anything. So I thought we'd practice with just noticing that. And to help, I'll begin the practice and guide you through finding some form of object, anchor. And then I'm going to stay quiet for the duration of the practice, except that every now and then, at a random interval, I'll just say the word now. And in that moment, that's an invitation. Just notice, you know, was your mind on the object that you've worked with, or the breath or sounds or whatever it might be, or was your mind somewhere else? If your mind was on the object, what was it like? Just to take a quick snapshot, a quick moment of the attitude that was there. Was it analyzing? Was it judging? Was it trying to control or change the experience? Just take a snapshot and then let go. Come back to just observing, recognizing, and releasing. And we'll see how we do with that. So, the usual thing, if you have your phones on, turn them off. Get comfortable. And let's do a deep dive. One last thing I'll say before we do. I say this to my beginning students, but I remind myself of this all the time. And people who I sit with who are my colleagues, you know, there's actually no way to fail this practice because you're already here. And the idea behind this practice is to become familiar with your own mind, become intimate with your experience. So whatever happens as we experiment together today, whatever you notice is your experience. And there's no way to fail the practice because you are here having this experience, and it always points to something larger in yourself. So we could take the pressure off and just explore. So shifting into this posture that allows you to sit quietly with an invitation to stillness, but no restriction against adjusting as needed. And you can practice with your eyes open, gently defocusing whatever's in front of you, or your eyes can be closed. And just notice as you shift into this transition, the beginning of a practice, notice how you feel. Where do you look for feeling? That might lead you to your body, noticing the weight and posture and relative sense of being here and feeling comfortable or energetic or sleepy. Just noticing just how things are in this body. And see if you could maybe be inspired to respond to this question. Why did you come here today? What do you wish for from your practice? And letting go whatever comes from that, and letting go of any effort to accomplish that or strive for it, we rest in finding an anchor, an object of attention for you that works. So it could be breathing sensations, it could be sounds in the room, it could be other parts of the body, it could be the visual field. So choose something for you that is reliable, that is defined, so that your attention can relax and take it in. And just let this anchor appear in your attention. And as always, when you notice any distraction, any discursive thinking, images, those are all part of your panorama of awareness. Gently notice them and reassign your attention to that object that you've chosen to work with today. When I say the word now, Just take a snapshot. Where is your attention? What stance or attitude is your mind taking in that moment? And then just begin again. Now, now. now. Resting in attention, relaxing thinking, letting go of analysis and judgment now. and now. Attention being the most precious resource of the mind. From attention, all things come. And tune your attention to your body, if you haven't already, this moment. Just notice posture, tensions, stillness or restlessness, comfort, discomfort. Allow your attention to open wide enough to let a global sensation of the body become more and more known. And there may be places where a deeper exhalation of breathing could allow a release of tension or relaxation. And tuning into this inner space where I might find my mood, my felt sense, noticing if it's changed over the last 25 minutes. Noticing if there's a residue of judging my practice or judging my experience, which is a natural function of the automatic mind. I include that in what I notice, if it's there. I turn my attention to the sounds in the room around me, all the living human beings near me, and the sense of this room. And if we could bring this kind of attentiveness to the body and to these feeling states and moods and thoughts and to my environment, which includes people, what might I notice that I didn't notice before? How might I open to my experience? So if you'd like to, the invitation is to set an intention at some point of the day today to slow down and really pay attention by coming back to your senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, maybe smelling and tasting, and noticing how quickly the thinking mind interrupts with analysis and judgments and writing books about things and to-do lists. That's its function. We notice it, and we have the choice in that moment to open to more sensation, more presence, or to follow the thought if it's useful. I'm going to end with a short reading from a wonderful teacher named Pema Chodron. For us, as people sitting here meditating, as people wanting to live a good, full, unrestricted, adventurous, real kind of life, there is a concrete instruction that we can follow, which is the one we've been following all along in meditation. See what is. Acknowledge it without judging it as right or wrong. See clearly without judgment and let it go. Come back to the present moment. From now until the moment of your death, you could do this as a way of becoming more compassionate, as a way of becoming less dogmatic, prejudiced, determined to have your own way, absolutely sure you're right and the other person is wrong, as a way to develop a sense of humor, to lighten it up, to open up. You can do this. And so when you're ready, you can, if you haven't already, blink your eyes open, invite the room back in, move your body. Always a good reminder that if you're interested in a deeper dive, we have classes on campus just up the street at UCLA's Mindful Awareness Research Center.
Thanks for listening to UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum. For more information on our classes, workshops, and retreats, please go to marc.ucla.edu. That's marc.ucla.edu. Join us each week for a new lesson in mindfulness.